You all have a great week? Okay. Just checking. I also had a great week in the presence of the Lord, and I never fail to make mention of you when I come into the presence of the Lord, and it is good for us to know that He is leading and guiding us and helping us even in this journey. Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel like I'm ministering to you and you're so far. This is a purity. Can you show the others and come and sit on front here? Julia should be the last one. Anybody after him, can you come and forward, please? Please, Sister Fine. Jimmy, stand on your feet, please, man. Let us come over here. I feel like I'm ministering like you. You guys are very far. Bring them, eh? I think that's better. But I think Brother Alan could have come a little bit more, but I think that's better. Amen. Why are you? Are you ushering? Okay. Thank you. It is good to see Sister Omboi. Thank you for coming, and what a joy you bring to our hearts when we see you. Amen. And everyone else, I just want to thank God for you. Praise be to God. I want us to share from the book of Matthew, chapter number 13, verse number 1 to 23. I'm sharing from the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. And it's going to be a pretty long portion of scripture this morning. But it is going to be necessary to lay a foundation in what we want to accomplish. If not, we are not going to be able to accomplish everything today. It is okay. We can take it over to next Sunday. Amen. I'd like to invite Ambu to read for me that portion of the scripture. You don't have a Bible. Okay, it's on your phone. Okay, just read it for us, Ambu. Matthew 13, 1 to 23. Yes, sir.
All right. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even that he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For these people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The one who perceived the seed, received the seed that fell on rocky places, is a man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
Beautiful. You did it. Wow. It's a long portion of scripture, but you know, sometimes I think it's necessary to read it because it's necessary for us to understand and to have a foundation. Even when you're speaking about the word, you'll be able to make points of references even as we speak the word. We had an opportunity to come here on Thursday. And by the way, for those of you who are available to come on Thursday, it's really, really important to make an effort to attend the church meetings that we have. It is for our benefits. I understand that some of us are working and we are not able to come, and I totally understand that. But when you have an opportunity, it is always good to make a point to come so that, you know, it is through prayer, it is through Bible meetings that we have in the church that we are able to develop and grow even as we reason one to another. Every last Friday of the month, we have a prayer meeting in the church, and I continue to urge you. That's all I can do. You know, I can continue to urge you to come and pray because it is profitable, not to me, but to you. Praise the Lord. Amen? 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 With all honesty, I do not think at any one time that we have a shortness of word here, especially in this country. You pop into your car, you can tune to various radio stations, and you can listen to the word of the Lord. There's one brother who we met on Thursday. He said he was just expressing, you know, his idea of, I don't know what is happening because I am drenched in the word. He happens to be, you know, move from one place to another, transporting, you know, things, you know, from one office to another, and so he is mostly in his vehicle. And if you're that kind of a person, you know, there's various options that you can have. You can tune your radio to 90.9, you can go to 91.3, you can go to 94.9. I mean, there are so many Christian radio stations in Dallas, unlike many other places. I had an opportunity to travel across, you know, America, and you guys really need to know how blessed you are. That you can go just to your dial, even as you're trying to guess, you know, or just try to flip the dial and try to check whether there's a Christian radio station, and you can get it easily. I've been to places whereby when you turn the dial, all you listen to or what comes up is rock music or rap music or, you know, like, you know, political talk shows. That's all infiltrate their airwaves. And so you can also go to your phone anytime that you want, and you can have actually a reminder about the word of the Lord. You can be having daily devotions about you know, in the word of the Lord. In other words, you can set yourself, now this technology, you have a little computer in your hand in the name of a smartphone that you can tune yourself, or you can Google, or you can go online and read the word of the Lord. In other words, the word of the Lord is not really rare. It is easily accessible with the new, especially with the technology that we have, right? It is not like in the olden times that when you didn't have a Bible, or you had to go seclude yourself to an area and you had to have a quiet time, even though it is still necessary for you to have a quiet time as a believer so that you can build yourself up in your most holy place. But in reality, because of our busy schedules, technology has helped us in that you can read the word of the Lord any place that you so desire. Praise be to God. And so the intended purpose of the word of the Lord is to, in a believer, is to change a believer. Praise the Lord. When a believer has a rightful condition and he has access to that word has no alternative other than to change that believer. And I was wondering, I've been wondering, even as I've, thank God, now I have time to come and I can sit down and study the word of the Lord. I've been really asking myself, why is it that in the church today, and I'm not talking about Empowerment Christian Center, I'm talking about the church in general, there's some kind of lagging behind, some kind of, you know, you realize people have this kind of believers have there's a certain kind of an energy that comes that gets people, and they surge into activity, and they're serious about the Lord. But suddenly, that surge tends to you know appears to die off. And I was wondering, and I was asking the Holy Spirit, what is it? I know that the word of the Lord is still as powerful as it was spoken by the Lord. Amen. And it is not that we have the shortness of, I mean, it's not that the word of the Lord is rare. We can access the word of the Lord through various mediums that we have. We can access the word of the Lord through our phones, through our radio stations, through a preacher that you really love. You can even have it, you know, you can have it recorded, and you can even actually listen to it later. We have seasoned preachers. You know, like in Dallas, we are blessed to have seasoned preachers. Like when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I want to dial to Cleflo Dollar, and I know most of you do that. I can listen to T.D. Jakes. I can listen to David Jeremiah. I can name it. In fact, it's like you even know their lineage. You know how they come back to back. You can even access, you know, their databases. You can go to their websites and listen to these seasoned preachers. And I couldn't even help but remember many, many years when, you know, back in Kenya, you know, the believers, if there was a seasoned preacher maybe coming to our country, like T.L. Osborne or Morris Arullo, many people would plan and go, and they would go to those meetings, and there would be that hunger, and there would be that desire for people to go and attend those meetings. But my question is, it came to a point in my life, and I said, if I listen to a preacher and the message of the Lord that I listen to through that minister doesn't change me, then I think that I have to really work on me so that I can make effective that word of the Lord in my life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, at the background, before we can even delve to what we just read, it is important for us to know what the word of the Lord is. There are so many descriptions in the word of the Lord, but most of it, I think, most important of all the descriptions that I can think about, or what I thought about, is found in the book of John, chapter number 1, verse number 1. And the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was. So in other words, the Word is the Lord himself. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing that was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So in other words, John introduces us into what we know today as the Word. And for us to really understand and to have a background knowledge about the scripture, it is good to understand that the word of the Lord, if the Holy Spirit doesn't break it to us so that we can understand into bits that are palatable, we would never understand it. Praise the Lord. It would not be easy for any regular person who is not a believer or who doesn't have a revelation by the Holy Spirit to understand how the word could be incarnate and become flesh, like as we are told in the book of John chapter number 1, verses number 1. You know, the word became flesh. It is so hard for anybody to understand that portion of the scripture. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that the word of God is a mystery. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord is a mystery. And no wonder the Bible says in the book of Corinthians that the preaching of the gospel is what? Is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to those who believe in the Lord, it is power unto what? Salvation. Praise the Lord. Amen? Are we together up to that point? So, what is a mystery? Can somebody tell me what a mystery is? What is a mystery? You know, in regular terms, you know, what do you understand by a mystery? Mystery is anything that is not understood. Amen? If you know of an idea and you don't have an ability to explain what that idea is to you, that is a mystery. Any idea that you know about, any idea that you've heard about, that you don't have a pre-knowledge about, or you don't know anything about, it is a mystery. Amen? For example, when you see the stars in heaven just hanging out, or for example, when you see those, you know, the twinkling stars, you might think that they are just little bitty the way you're seeing them. And if that is what you believe, and if that is what you know, then according to you, that is what you know. But you may not really have an idea how big those stars are. And if you do not know, and if you do not care to know how big those stars are, or how far they are from where you're at, the point where you're looking them at, or you do not know anything about astronomy, that to you is a mystery. Amen? Even though it is available to you, but it becomes a mystery. But this is not what it is in spiritual terms. Now, the word mystery in spiritual terms, it is something that is not understood until it has been revealed. Amen? The word of God remains a mystery unless it is revealed to your heart. Amen? It remains, any portion of the scripture would remain a mystery to me unless the Holy Spirit will come and break it down to my life in terms that I can understand. Are you with me up to this point? Amen. So it is important for you to understand, even as we check out Matthew 13, the verses that our brother Ambrose just read to us, it is important for us to know the essence of the word. The word in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God, and nothing that appears here, nothing that was made without that word. And nothing and everything that we see was made through that word. That alone is a mystery. Unless the Holy Spirit breaks it down to us so that we can understand that in the beginning was that word, and that word became incarnate and it became flesh. And Jesus comes into the scene, and he dwelt among his people, and people failed to recognize who he was. Amen? He was there in the beginning. He was involved in the creation. Yet he was the light of the world, the incarnate word, and he was dwelt among men, and they failed to recognize who he was. That is a mystery. But now we are able to know, we are able to understand through faith by the help of the Holy Spirit. He has been able to reveal that word to us so that we are able to understand. So very, very important. It's important for us to understand that the word of the Lord is a mystery. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it remains a mystery, but it no longer remains a mystery until when it is revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, Paul, writing to Timothy, this is what it tells him. I hope to come to you soon in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 3, verse number 14. This is what it says to him. I hope to come to you, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Number 16, very important. This is what it says. Great indeed, we confess. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Praise the Lord. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. That remains a mystery. But not to us. Those who are well redeemed by the Lord, because why? The Holy Spirit is able to reveal it to us. So we are able to understand exactly what happened when Jesus was incarnate, when Jesus became flesh and he dwelt among the people, and that's why we accepted him. And to all those who accepted him, what happened to them? To them he gave power to become what? Children of God. You've been given power to become a child of God because you have accepted him. You have accepted the message of the cross. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And to begin with, I would like us first of all to check out what it means by what Jesus spoke in
in Matthew chapter number 13, 1 to 23. He describes, I don't want to, you know, just echo what, because it was very clear what we just read. But I just want to focus on the items that we have found out in that our text today. It talks about the seeds on the earth. Now, before we can talk about the distribution of these seeds, we need to know something about the sower. Praise the Lord. Now, who is the sower in this picture? Who is the sower in this picture? Who is the farmer? Jesus is the sower. Praise the Lord. Amen. He is the Word, and he can be the sower. He is the gardener. The Father is the gardener. The Lord God is the gardener. Praise the Lord. When I'm preaching to you, I represent Jesus, and what I'm doing, I'm distributing seeds right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Word of the Lord is a... Everybody, I want you to say it together. The Word of the Lord is a... Okay. Now, I want you to know the intention of any sower when he goes to sow seeds. What are the intentions? If I'm a well-educated and I've trained in my farming career and I do my business, when it is the season to sow seeds on the ground, what is the number one thing that is in my mind? Harvest. Thank you. I'm thinking about the harvest. I'm thinking about the profit that I'm going to get. If I sow the seeds, as long as all the conditions are right and necessary, I am not looking at what I'm sowing on the ground, but I'm looking at the harvest. Amen? So when the seeds are being distributed, be it me who represents Jesus at this particular time, and I'm broadcasting these seeds, my intention and my desire is the same as is in the Lord, that this word will land into a heart that is well prepared and bring forth a harvest. That is the intention. The Lord has a good intention that anybody who comes to him doesn't remain stagnant. That through the power in the word of the Lord, once they receive it, that there will be an active change that will be observable in that believer. Amen? The Bible tells us that we should sow seeds of righteousness so that in the later time or in a shorter while, we should bear unfailing love. That we may bear fruits of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, notice that the fruit doesn't just appear at one time. A fruit is a product of a seed that has been put in the ground, and there is an expenditure of time for that plant to grow, and it has grown to a particular point where and it begins to flower, and there's the pollination that takes place before that fruit is realized from any tree. Amen? So for me to say, or for us to declare and say, oh, I can see the fruits of the Spirit in Sister Teresa, I will know for definitely that it never just landed on her, but there's an expenditure of time and discipline for her to have allowed and prepared her heart for the righteous seed of the Lord to have germinated into her. And what you're seeing is a product of some time that has been expended. Are you listening to me? So in order for us to realize the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, in order to realize the fruit of unfailing love, then there has to be an expenditure. There has to be a time when the seed of the word of the Lord is deposited in us, and it is found the necessary and rightful condition, and that word germinated in us, and it was taken care of, it was pruned, and we took care of the weeds, and it is growing, and there's an expenditure of time until finally we're able to see the product of what that seed did. Praise the Lord. You're listening to me. Now, most of us come from Africa, and I know you know how hard it is. We don't have technology in the third world countries. If your father or your mom owned a piece of land and needed to be tilled, we had to take a plow or a djembe, we used to call it a djembe, and we had to do the manual work of breaking ground. Amen? That was the greatest thing that I didn't like in tilling of a land. Because in most cases, we had what we call dangari. I don't know what they call it in English, so that Sister Lorraine can understand and Brother Carlos. But it's this kind of grass that once it gets on the ground, it is so difficult to uproot it completely, and you have to go with what we used to call a fork. You know, it's kind of like a we used to, it's like a hoe. It's like a kind of like it was an equipment which when it gets into the ground, it removes everything from the root. And let me tell you, if my mom told me we are going to Menengai because we had they had a farm up there, and in Menengai it was a land that was full of that grass. Let me tell you, I resented it. And you know what? I didn't have to argue with my parents. What they said, it is time to go to Menengai. We had to go to eat Menengai. And let me tell you, we were there 8 o'clock, and my mother would put food on where she would think that, you know, we would be done by the day, and we will never get to that food until we get there. And let me tell you, as, you know, because you want to get to the food, you cannot really namuka. You have to keep on removing the banana grass. You know, it's difficult work. In order for that fruit to be really seen in a believer, it is not easy. Are you listening in church? Sometimes, you know, it is. We have this concept of an idea that Christianity is not easy. It is not easy. There has to be sacrifices to be made. What did Jesus say, church? And by the way, I'm not just talking to you, but I'm talking to me as well. What did Jesus say? That anybody who wants to follow me must deny themselves. Amen? That is a mystery. He says that anybody who wants to follow me, they must leave their father, they must leave their children, they must leave their family and follow me. Now, let me tell you, if you tell that to anybody who does not really know the Lord, in fact, they can even start a fight. If you tell them, these are the prerequisites of you following the movement, you know, of the king that I follow. You have, number one, to deny yourself. Number two, you have to leave your father. Number two, you have to leave your children. Number three, you have to leave your wife and leave them, and so that you can dedicate fully into this master that I'm serving. They'll tell you, oh, Potelembali, I don't even want it. It is a mystery. Unless the Holy Spirit breaks it down to us so that we can really understand in small, palatable nuggets, it would be very difficult. It is difficult for you to just be a believer who depicts and displays the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is work that is expended. There is prayer that person has gone through. There is fasting that they have had to go through. There is a studying of the word that they have allowed and kept the devil at bay so that they would not come and steal that word of the Lord from them. And they have completely yielded themselves to the services of the Most High God. Can somebody say a big amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the sower can be a prolific farmer. A sower may have gone to higher levels of education just to learn about seeding and how he can get the best quality seed. Back in Africa, we used to call, you know, you either had a Katumani or you had a 713. You know, no farmer just went to the store and just, you know, beat up the comps and say, okay, these are my maize. No. Even my mother, and she was never schooled. She had to go to the store to buy grade seeds, right? And she said, this is, and actually they used to be colored, so that I think they used to be colored, maybe to protect them from the insects, but also maybe to prevent people from eating them. And so my mother would buy little bags, and she would keep them for the time and wait for the time of planting season. And she would keep them. And I know your mother too also did that too. Or yourself, if you were a farmer. You know, people like Julius, you know, they grew in cities. So this is really, really a mystery. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is this. Whatever the parents wanted to sow, they would prepare, whether it is potatoes, they would really search, they would really, you know, try to select them and just choose the ones that had many eyes. They used to call them eyes, so that they know they would develop. Some of you can connect with what I'm trying to say. Any potato seedling that didn't have no many eyes, it would be put for consumption. That one would be eaten for dinner. But anything that had eyes, it would be kept for planting. I know that is still a mystery for some of you. May the Lord help you so that he can reveal that to you. Okay. No matter how that sower would separate the seeds, and no matter how educated and timing that he did, if he just woke up every morning, one morning, and said, you know what, and say, Brother Frank just offered him a piece of land, and he said, you know, you're going to okay, this is a piece of land, just go ahead and sow. And this farmer, experienced as he was, went and started scattering the seeds. You know, it is the right season and everything is right, and scattering the seeds. Do you think, much as you'd want to focus on the harvest, that you'd really be focusing on the harvest, knowing what he knows about the condition of the soil? Would you think you'd have his focus on the harvest? No. Why? Because he knows something about the preparation of the ground. Are you listening to me? He knows that before he puts the seeds into the ground, the land has to be tilled. It has to be, he must have used to harrow the place so that the land would be levelized and the soil particles would be quite soft enough, and there would be moisture on the soil. And so he would not just broadcast the seeds like that. Maybe he would have an equipment that would, like what we used to do, you'd go, you'd make one step and you'd create a hole, and holes, and there would be a line of holes, and you go planting those seeds, and that was not enough. You'd come with a jembe and cover those seeds, right? Now when you did that, you had your eyes on the harvest. But not until you did that. Praise be to God. Now, let me tell you, church, what I've just described to you is the same way, even in the spiritual circles. The Lord, when he's distributing the seed in the word of the Lord, he has harvest in his mind. He hopes that everybody will have the right condition and will prepare their ground enough so that when they receive that word will have an opportunity to grow, because he is the gardener. He has made all the conditions necessary, and he is really looking at the harvest. But he doesn't really, he's not aware, okay, I don't know, maybe this seed is falling on my sister, my sister Christine, the other one is falling on my brother James, and the other one is falling on those. It's like, he says, now, I will stand here and see what the effectiveness of this word, the seed that I've put in them, will do. And the Holy Spirit told me this. No matter how best a pitcher can be, huh? No matter whether you're listening to T.D. Jakes, no matter whether you're listening to your best friend, preacher like David Jeremiah, if I love Clef Rodola, no matter how I can listen to him, it all depends with the condition of my heart. Are you listening to me? Man, let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit told me that, I received a breakthrough. I said, God, you know what? I don't even have to wonder. You know, sometimes I used to hope from one meeting to another. Who is coming in the city? Oh, I hear T.L. Osborne is coming. I'm going there. Who is God? This one. Let me tell you. You can listen to T.D. Jakes 24 hours. If the condition of the heart, let me tell you, everybody who goes there, I'm not even condemning them, because I don't know how their conditions of their hearts is. But if they flock there to listen to the man, it all depends with the condition of their heart. It doesn't. T.D. Jakes is so excellent. I love him, man. I love even to read. I have CDs for T.D. Jakes. I listen to him. I listen to David Jeremiah, pre-season preacher. You know, like Chuck Swindoll. You know, these old timer preachers, man. They have a way of elaborating the truth. I love them. But it doesn't matter how great he can break that word down if the conditions of my heart is still a path. It doesn't matter whether that farmer, whether that sower is so articulative in the way he sows seeds, if some of the seeds that he's distributing fell on a path. Yeah? And what is a path? What did we read a path is? What do you know of a path? A wayside. What is a wayside, church? By the way, I don't want anybody to feel condemned here. We're just reasoning in the word of the Lord. Amen? At the end of this service, I would like us to desire to be one kind of a soil that Jesus talks to us about. The fertile ground, the ready soil that is ready to accept the seed. Now, he said that in his quest, and he was just giving them, he just putting this story to them, and it was so real to them, because, you know, in Palestine in those days, they didn't even have boundaries. They didn't even have fences on their land. And what they used to do, you know, a farmer would have a tract of land, and maybe his home would be at a certain point. And when it was a season for him to plant, he would just carry seeds in his bag, and he would go just distributing the seeds. And so it was really understandable. In those days, they used to have even animals. And some of us, I don't know, I never saw, I think in Western Kenya, they still use those. You know, whereby they put some harness on some oxen, and the work of the person to just train on the plow, so that this animal, as it's pulling the plow, the land is able to be tilled properly. Now, I was reading somewhere else when I was researching for this message, and it was saying in some countries, most of the farmers don't even have livestock. And so what they do, they put that harness on themselves. And usually this is the responsibility of the man of the house. Thank God you're in America. Because Julius, you'll be putting that harness and Charity will be telling you, shh, let's go. So it is the responsibility of the husband pulling that plow to prepare the ground for farming. And either the son or the wife would direct the plow so that it doesn't go anyhow. And at the end of the journey, they're doing that to ensure that the seed would have a proper place to land. I can imagine by the end of the day, this husband is completely worn out because of pulling this plow. It is a hard job, church. In America, that's a mystery. Because they have mechanized things. Actually, they have mechanized everything. Even the sowers, even the harvesters. I don't know. I've seen an American, you know, even as I travel. You know, you guys, you're all in Dallas. You need to, you know, sometimes get out of in the city. I mean, in the countryside. Man, you can go to a farm. It is full of, there's a machine to till the land. There's a machine to even aerate. There's a machine even to harvest. This guy just gets on the tractor and he goes. And the machine does the work. It never used to be like that in the olden times. Praise the Lord. And so, the land is prepared. Where was I before I even went there? I was telling you about a preacher. So it is the condition of the heart. And so when the seeds are distributed, he says, some of the seeds fell on a path. Now, a path is a well-trodden piece of ground. You know, it's a demarcated, you know, place. Even in your, it could be maybe at home, especially like in Africa, you'd have this meandering path that would go maybe towards the river where you go to fetch water. You know? And that path, you know, is well-trodden, you know, by your feet, by the weight, by the force of gravity that you exert to the ground. All the feet that pass through that path is well-trodden. But also, so the Bible says that some of the seeds fell on what? On the path. And so these seeds that fell on the path, do you think in any reality, in fact, this is just a question. Do you think that they would germinate if they went on the path? Number one, these seeds were exposed to the elements. Number two, these seeds would be seen by birds flying everywhere. And it says those seeds that fell on the path, the birds of the air came and did what? Ate them. Yeah? It ate them. You know, that they're exposed to the elements. It could be windy. It could be winter. It could be anything. But they fell on the path. And Jesus says that this kind of seeds that fell on the path represents people whose hearts, who just hear the word, but they don't have any understanding. Amen? They don't have an understanding of it. You know, in every given congregation, let me tell you, and I'm not mentioning names. There could be maybe one of them. But in every given congregation, there are all these kind of four types of people. There are people actually, I had an opportunity of a visitor who came up here the other day, 2 weeks ago. And after the service, she came and told me, oh, pastor, thank you even for making me a lot with the word of the Lord. I said, okay, what did you hear? Oh, thank you, the way you're explaining it, the way you stormed out of the church, you know. I don't know what you're explaining it. And so I said, what do you mean? This is what she told me. Many times when I'm in services, I'm calculating my bills. Which bills is not paid, when I'm going to pay. Does this one come on the 19th or the 17th? And the preacher is preaching. Now tell me, and that person dragged their body at the Empowerment Christian Center. And when we said, clap your hands, they clap their hands. When he said, lift up their hands, they lifted their hands. But after there, that's when they tell you the story. Hey, actually on the 19th, that's when that bill is coming. And they were thinking it when the preacher was preaching. Tell me, is that person ever, if that is how they do every Sunday, are they ever going to grow? Paths, seeds going into their path. Let me tell you, church, listen to me, and please, you forgive me. The devil is normally by the doors outside the church, not inside, outside, waiting and scanning anybody who is a path, has a condition of a path. Because that's what the Bible says. Some of the seeds fell on a path. And the devil came and stole that word. Let me tell you, the devil knows, and I've told you this many times, that when he knows that the effectiveness of that word, he knows that if you can take that word and run with it, you can be an effective soldier of Jesus Christ. You can become an ambassador, a threat to his kingdom. No wonder the Bible says that one can chase a thousand. Do you think that the devil will allow that word to settle in your life if he knows that you're a threat to 10,000 of his angels? Never. He will do anything to frustrate us. But I thank God because he has more power. And God is so merciful. That's why he is speaking to us, so that we can desire to be the fertile ground. Because the moment, think about this, church, if every single one of us, if our hearts, including myself, we are right with the Lord, and when the word of God comes and changes us, do you think that we are going to struggle, that I have got them every time? I have to remind these people that, it is a women's meeting this Sunday. I have to text them, and we announce the last Sunday. That's just an example. Or anything. Do you have to be reminded that you have to wake up in the morning and pray? You don't have to. Do you have to be reminded that you have to read the word of the Lord? Tony, Pastor Tony, do you have to be reminded that you need to spend time with the Lord, for heaven's sake? Not when my ground is ready and when the word of the Lord is working in me. But sometimes I found myself to struggle. Are you listening to me, church? Come on, don't be quiet on me now. Always, thank you, Purity. How about these other guys? Today, we think about it. We think about today. If I don't come and chastise us and prepare ourselves and awaken ourselves, this word will be a benefit to us when we realize about it. The path is a dry ground. Amen? Complete dry ground. Any seeds that fell on that ground, they will be eaten by insects. Now, part of the answer, part of the thing that we need to focus on right now is to ask ourselves, how then can we understand the word of the Lord? In other words, how can we prepare our hearts so that we are not a path? Because do you believe that there are people, I'm not talking about Empowerment Christian Center, but in the church, do you believe there are people who have a heart that is like a path? No, say emphatically like you mean it. Do you think there is in the church? Yes, because the Lord will not have talked about it, Julius, right? He will not have talked about it. Maybe none of us here, I don't believe there's anyone of here who is a path. No, seriously. Because a path is really dry. That person would really not actually maybe close to the borderline of not being born again. But there are hearts of people who are like a path. And so when they come, like this person who came and told me, I count my bills when the preacher is going on. And I'm like, wow. Part of the answer that the Lord gave them was in Matthew 13, 11, 15. Matthew 13. The disciples come to Jesus and ask him, why do you always talk in parables? Okay? Now, the mystery in Jesus speaking in parables is this, that he paints a picture so that those who are generated are able to understand. Like the parable of the sower. It is clear to us now when he is talking about the four kinds of heart's preparation. But give this to somebody who is ungenerated, then you're confusing them more. Do you see the mystery of what I'm trying to say, to talk about? The Lord makes it very clear when he's talking to those who are willing to understand, they are able to see what Jesus is speaking. Yet, it is so difficult even to those who are ungenerated. And he's saying that if only they can turn their hearts to me, even while I speak these things, so that I can change them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he says in Matthew 13, in his answer, that was his answer to the disciples. Amen. He said that they are, for this reason I speak to them in parables, because looking, they do not see, and hearing, they do not listen or understand. Can you continue, Sister Lorraine? Verse number 14. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you will listen and listen, yet never understand, and you will look and look, yet never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous. Callous is a type of heart hardness, you know? It is some kind of a hardness so that, you know, it, no wonder, I don't know how I can explain it, but it's a heart hardness so that you are insensitive to the truth in the of the word of the Lord. You can hear the word being preached, but you have lost sensitivity. That is what it means by their hearts have grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn back, and I would cure them. Amen. Now, seed on the rocky soil. The seed that fell on the rocky soil. Now, this is a soil that has a small amount. You will not even recognize it, but it has a small measure of soil in it. But embedded underneath it is a rocky situation, is a rocky ground. Amen? So you might not even tell the difference when you're looking at that kind of a soil, because you'd think that it is a good soil. Why? Because on top of it, there is a layer of soil. But it is not deep enough. Embedded underneath that small film of soil is a rocky ground. Okay? And it says some of these seeds fell on a rocky soil. And what does this represent? As we read, this represents, I think, the, it generalizes the mood that we find in the church today. You know? We have, this is the kind that says that this is a seed that once it drops there, the small film or the small layer of soil helps it. Amen? It helps it in that it germinates very quickly. Very quickly, because, you know, it has found the soil and it has germinated. However, when the sun comes, what happens? It is scorched and dies. Why? Because the root system never penetrated deep enough so that it can absorb moisture and allow the development of this seed. And this is represented, it says, these are the kind of people whose hearts, they receive the gospel gladly. They are excited about it. Hallelujah. And they can shout hallelujah when the pastor is saying hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? They're not like you, because I know you are for real. They're excited. I will do this. I'll do that. You know, this is evangelism. They say, oh, Jesus, yes, I'll go in the city. But the fire, 2 weeks, there's a lot of excitement. But it begins to dwindle. If you read that portion of the scripture, the Bible says that when the sun comes, it scorches the crop, and so it withers and dies. Now, listen. Every moment, man, if you don't take anything, take this from me and run with it. Every moment you have an opportunity for the word to be spoken to you, the enemy is at bay. Okay? To throw trouble to you, to throw persecution to you, perchance that you yield to the temptation and you yield to the trouble and you yield to the persecution so that that word may not gain root. Did you understand what I said, Beatrice? That every chance you have an opportunity for the word to come on, the devil is at bay to come and throw trouble to you, to throw persecution to you, perchance that you yield to that temptation and trouble so that the word may fail to gain root from it. But if the root is well established, this is why God is speaking to us that we need to prepare the heart, the soil of our heart. If the soil, if the soil is deep enough, then the roots will go deep inside up so that when trouble comes, I will still be flourishing. Amen? You'll be amazed, you know, what little troubles, you know, make us fall down. You might maybe miss to pay your bill and, you know, you just, something happened. You know, you just missed to pay your bill. And you know what? You know what they charge you when you miss to pay your bill? Do you know the fee? Okay, do you know the amount? How much is it? $35. Just because you missed, and let me tell you, that can be trouble. Because you have managed your money nicely. You say, this $167.50 is for groceries. So anybody who takes $35 out of the plan that you have is enough to cause trouble to you. That's just one of the examples. And that you might be agonizing, oh God, where am I going to get the $35? Where am I going to get the $35? It's trouble now. Huh? Behold, I'm your supplier. You know, the Lord says, you know, do not worry for what you're going to eat today, because even I provide for the, and the word is pounding like a hammer, because I provide for the birds of the air, I'll also provide for you $35. Why am I going to get that $35 to balance my check? I will provide for you $35. I'll provide for that. And the voice of the $35 continue. Now, this is an example I'm giving you, right? It echoes, or it sounds louder than, I will be your provider. The Lord says, I'll be your provider. Have you seen a bird carrying a djembe? And you can even hear the voice, and they're competing. And you are saying, $35. Oh, yeah, $35, $35. What am I going to do with that $35? I'm not going to be able to get grocery. That's what happens. But when your root is deep enough, it will be reaching out for the moisture, and the sound of the voice of God will cling louder. Have I not provided for the battle? Devil, get out of here. I am going to provide the $35 deficit. Let me tell you guys, if you stay strong enough, it might be Pastor, or it might be Tony, the rich guy, or Julius, the Mdosi, who says it's a purity. The Lord is talking to me to give you $35. No, actually 50. Because the word of the Lord says this: I will give above and beyond what you can ask. When this is engraved in you, and when that is the voice that you can hear, it doesn't matter whether the sun is in January. It doesn't matter whether it is hot in Texas, like 90 degrees, you know, scorching you, and you feel like you're giving up. But I want to tell the devil that my roots are deep enough. You cannot convince me that you're going to kill me. You cannot kill me, because the Lord is my provider. And even if he doesn't provide me, I'm not going to bow down to you. Are you listening to me? Clearly, are you listening? Yeah. That the seed on the rock is out. That is the seed that falls. And then our question is, and I'm not going to address this because we don't have time. We saw in the first place that the problem is, how do we understand the word of the Lord? How can we get out of the pathy? If there's a word like that, a pathy condition of our soil, it is by understanding the word of the Lord. And he says that if only we can hear by our ears, if only we can perceive with our eyes, the Lord, if we can perceive it inside of us, maybe if the Lord sees that we are able to perceive it, then he will come and help us. Amen? He will come and help us. It has to be an effort from our part. And it is okay to be a path today, because it doesn't say that, the word does not say that once a path, you'll always be a path. You can break down your fallow ground. Are you listening to us? We can break down our fallow ground. A fallow ground remains useless. It might be profitable, and it holds within it, in itself, a potential to produce some great harvest. But you know what? If we do not work on the fallow ground, it will still remain a fallow ground. Amen. And the Lord spoke to prophet Hosea. He told me, break ye. In fact, let me read that, and then we're going to conclude. Yeah. I love this. This is what he says. This is what he says. I know I'd put it somewhere down. This blessed me. No, yes, here it is. In Hosea chapter number 10, verse number 12, see what it says. Sow your self-righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, or the fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness unto you. Notice what he told also Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 4, verse number 3 to 4. You can write it down and go read it. Did you get the first one? Hosea 10:12. Go read it, please. Read it. Jeremiah chapter number 4, 3 to 4. This is what it says. He said, break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns, which you're going to discuss later. Circumcise yourself to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you men of Judah and people of Jerusalem. There's something about a fallow ground. A fallow ground lies in destitute. Not that it doesn't have the potential to produce, but when it is fallow, it is completely with weeds and all kinds of stumps. It could be having trees. But in order for us to convert it into a productive ground, then we have to put some work on that fallow ground. You're listening to me. Amen? Stand on your feet. It is time to conclude. If you know that you're not a path, praise the Lord. If you know that the condition of your heart is not on a rocky ground, praise God. But I would like you to pray for those whose hearts are in those conditions. A path. A rocky ground. Because the Lord is speaking a voice unto the church. Not Empowerment Christian Center, but I'm talking about the body of Jesus. The body of Christ. And he wants us to be a good ground. Pray for them. Pray that God will give them the revelation to realize the condition of their heart. Because the word of God has a 100 guarantee that once it lands on a fertile ground, it will bring production. It will bring development. Amen? There are things by now we should not be struggling with. As a child of God, when were you born again? Could have been born again maybe 5 years, 10 years ago, 20 years. Surely, there are certain things that we should not be struggling with. Things that concern our faith. You know? But the reason I believe that we could be struggling with some of the things spiritually is because we have sections of fallow ground in us that needs to be broken. We have soil so thin and embedded underneath it, there could be a rocky situation that needs to be broken down. And I hear the Father telling me that you may not have spiritual livestock to put some harness and so that you can prepare the ground. You may not even have the strength to do it. But you know what, church? I hear the Heavenly Father saying, if you can trust me, I can put on those harnesses. And I'm preparing. And I'm prepared to pull the plow on your behalf. All I need you to do is be willing to lead me in those areas that need to be plowed, and I'll plow them for you. And I'll make them to be productive grounds once again. And once I plow them, and once I deposit my word, there'll be development, and there'll be production in that area. Amen. That's what I hear. He says that I feel like him. He's saying that I'm ready to put on the harnesses. And you, my child, I just want you to lead me. Lead me with a plow. I'll be the one pulling the harnesses. I'll do the difficult job of doing it, because I know you've declared that you don't have the strength. But if only you can hold on the plow and lead me to that area. That area that you have sealed off from any outside help. I can dash into that area and plow it up for you. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, the desire of our hearts, Lord, is that we may be a fertile ground, so that in the receipt of your word, we will know that that word will be effective in our lives. That in the receipt of your word, that no area will be found to be a path in our lives. No area will be found to have some rocks and just a small film of soil. You are the one, you are the gardener. And you are the one who gives ability for a seedling to develop roots and to usher into the ground, into the depths where there is moisture, in the name of Jesus. Anybody that is willing in this house, Father, let their wish and their heart's desire be granted. In the name of Jesus. Father God, break through your Holy Spirit the mystery in your word, Lord, so that we'll be able to understand it. In the name of Jesus. Father, we take
power and authority over every scheme of darkness, over the devils of hell, who are continuously coming to steal the word of the Lord from us. I declare that no word will be stolen from me. And like David will say, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Father, I pray that we shall find a place, a safety net in us to hide that word, so that it can gain root and develop in the name of Jesus. Father, in this congregation right now, Dad, there are people who desperately need your hand. Father, with all graciousness, I ask you, sir, that you may stretch your hand, Lord, and lift them out of the place where they are right now. Some of the things they cannot even mention to anybody, Lord. It could be things that are boiling up in their spirit that only them and you know. Father God, if you calmed the storms of the seas, Lord, you can calm down the storm of their life in the name of Jesus. Therefore, stretch forth your hand, Lord, and declare peace over their situation in the name of Jesus. It could be a loved one who is sick. It could be a loved one who is falling astray. It could be whatever it is, Lord, that is connected to them. Lord, let your hand come down and touch them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let mercy, let grace abide in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that are supposed to be here and they are not here, Lord. Whatever they are doing, Lord, wherever they have been carried away by, whether they are sick, whether they might have, whatever reason that caused them not to be here, we declare a blessing over their lives. They are part of our family. And we pray that they too, Lord, shall feel this gracing that is going on right now. In the name of Jesus. Touch us, Lord, this week. Prosper the works of our hands in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, even to be sensitive over the things that we do for you. Lord, because when we serve you, we are not serving any man, but we are serving you, Lord Jesus. Our service is unto you. You who is the Most High God. Thank you, Father. We bless and magnify your names. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Could we say our service begin from 11 to 1? And I want to honor that.